to the Psalm 19. We've seen that this psalm falls into two parts: a praise of the way that God declares his glory in creation, and then a praise of the way God declares his glory in the Word of God. And we focused especially upon the Word of God and what it says about God's Word. We've looked at verses 7 to 11, and our focus tonight is going to be 9b. Let's look at Psalm 19 and read verses 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We'd like to look at the last part of verse 9 in our study tonight. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. We've noted that there's a sense in which the same thing is repeated again and again. This is Hebrew poetry, in the sense that an idea, of course, the way that Hebrew poetry rhymes, an idea is spoken in a different way. And it's a rhyming idea rather than a rhyming word. So that to translate Hebrew poetry, you don't need to imitate the meter and imitate the sound. You recognize the echo of the idea. But this is more than that. It doesn't simply say that the Word of God is really, 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 really wonderful. It speaks of the ways in which it's wonderful. It speaks of what God has begun to show us about his Word. Especially spoke to me, as Evan spoke tonight and mentioned, people that are so far from knowing anything of this. No idea of the wonder and the beauty of what the Word of God is. We speak to them about Jesus and bring them to him. Why? In order that this kind of thing might begin in their hearts. A love and appreciation of God's Word. Their lives are so broken. How do you put together a life so incredibly broken? Well, we know it's not simply that they come to God and believe in Jesus and are saved. It's because they come to God, believe in Jesus, are saved, the Word of God written on their heart, and it begins to permeate all those areas of their lives that are so messed up. It's the Word of God that will guide them. It's the Word of God that will bring them to the kind of life that God wants them to have. So they need the Word of God. You begin with the Word of God declaring it to them, but there is so much that needs to be seen. And it all comes, if God will bring them, as he will if they come to Christ, to this kind of attitude toward the Word of God. By the grace of God, we have something of this attitude, and we are very thankful for it. So we've looked at that, and we're looking at the last of the statements of the Word of God, and then a couple of statements appear that talk about it and the effect of it, and we're going to look at those, and then we're concluding. That will be concluding our study. So we've got two more after this. Right now, this is the last one that speaks to us of what the Word of God is, and we want to look at 9b. 9b, the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. We want to see what is meant by the word that's translated ordinances, and what does it mean that they are sure, and what is meant by righteous, and what difference does it make to us? Those are the things we want to look at. Let's look at that verse again. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We recognize the wonderful blessing that it is to our life and how it addresses all our needs, every area of decision that's needed with regard to right and wrong, everything that will guide us to a life that's full and rich and complete, are all found in your word. The word of God is inspired by God, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect. Lord, as you've displayed this for us and you've begun to write this on our hearts, we ask you to be with us now by your Holy Spirit and cause this consideration tonight to be a time of blessing and encouragement to us. We ask your blessing upon us as we look over this section. Bless us, we pray, and encourage us and strengthen us. For Jesus' sake, amen. If you have the ESV, it's got different words for ordinances. In fact, it has a slightly different translation of it. And the NIV has one that's not entirely satisfactory, it seems to me. It says, the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. And it seems to me it's hard to make that very specific. What does it mean? What special thing does the ordinances of the Lord mean in this case? What makes this different from what was said in the other things that we considered? And actually, it seems to me that the best translation is not either the NIV or the ESV. In fact, the King James Version has a definition that's able to be held on to. And it's so consistent that every time this word appears in the King James Version, it's always translated by the same word, and the word is judgments. If you take this very word and look at different places, even in this area of the Psalms, where that word is used, NIV chooses different words. But King James consistently says the judgments of the Lord are, well, what it says is always the judgments of the Lord. For instance, in Psalm 1:5, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. The Lord, Psalm 9:7, the Lord has prepared his throne for judgment. Psalm 18:22, for all the judgments were before him, all his judgments were before me. Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment. Psalm 33:5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. King James again and again will use that text, and I think there's a reason for that, and I think that it's a good word to hold on to with regard to the meaning that we find here in this verse. The meaning seems to be the things that God declares to be just. The things that God declares to be just, the judgments of the Lord. And I think as we look at it, we'll see that's a little different from what we've looked at so far. The judgments of the Lord, what God determines to be right, is the judgments of the Lord. And it says, the judgments of the Lord are sure. The judgments of the Lord are sure. They are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are sure, altogether righteous. They are true and righteous altogether. They're true in accordance with things that are. That's the truth of them. They are in accordance with things as they are. They're true. We live in a world where establishing truth is almost impossible because people believe that there is no truth. As a matter of faith, they want to believe that there is nothing that you can say that is concrete. Everything has to be up for grabs. And we're in a world that pushes us with that idea that you can't have any truth. And we stand with the realization there is truth. The judgments of the Lord are truth. They're in accordance with things as they are, and they will always turn out ultimately to be good. There are things that have been declared that are true and will always turn out to be good, ultimately. Those are the things that it seems to be David sees, he lays hold of. There is such a thing as truth. Difficult to maintain that in a world that is so determined to say there isn't. But we have what God has declared to be truth. David expresses a wonderful confidence that God's word is a trustworthy guide in all matters of right and wrong. David sees that. God's word is a trustworthy guide in all matters of right and wrong. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Now, how does this differ from what we've seen before in this study? One of the interesting things, look back and say, yes, there are various things that are said, and they do sound like a repeat and a repeat and a repeat, but it's not that God is really, 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 really good. There's something significant in each one. How does this differ from what we've looked at before? The idea that God's word is a trustworthy guide in all matters of right and wrong. Well, look at the first thing that we looked at. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What does that say to us? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, or converting the soul. Well, that's telling us that God's word is perfectly adapted to bring a man to repentance, to turn him to God for mercy, and to work in him to make him a different kind of person. How important that is as we speak to people, as Evan would speak to them at the farm show. Others would have opportunity to speak. The word of God is perfect, converting the soul, perfectly adapted to bring a man to repentance, to turn him to God for mercy, and to work in him to make him a different kind of person. The word of God that converted your soul brought you to see that Jesus was your need, brought you to see that you were a sinner and under the judgment of God, and you needed the salvation that God alone could give. And you looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraged, strengthened by the word of God, to believe on Jesus and to come to a knowledge of him. And that's what people need. That's why Evan, that's why the Gideons, why others are presenting the word of God. Because it is perfectly adapted to bring a man to repentance, to turn him to God for mercy, and to work in him to make him a different kind of person. We found it to be so, and he worked in us. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the souls. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. God's word gives a clear answer with which the simple may answer the enticements of the devil. Even as Jesus did not argue with the devil, but answered, "It is written." That points us to the fact that when it says the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple, how do we know how to answer the temptations of the enemy? We know. And we don't need to argue, and we don't need to reason, and we don't need to be more clever than the people that entice us. We need to simply see what God has said and say, "The Lord has said such, and I live on that basis." And so the simple person who can't understand all the arguments and can't get around all the enticements can simply take a stand on the word of God. And so the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Another powerful thing that the word of God is to us, it helps us to be wise in the face of every temptation. It brings us to a knowledge of God, and it opens our heart to the belief in Christ. It blesses us, it gives us new life. It teaches us how to stand against all the objections and all the wiles of the enemy, because it makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. There is a right way to live, and I can know it before I've lived life. I can make choices in advance knowing that they're right. I can teach others the way to go and know that the end will be blessing. To know that, to be able to say, what is the way to live? What's the best life? We actually can say, what is the best life? Because God gives it to us in his word. We have a guide to choose the things that will bring us blessing before we see the result. We believe by faith, do that which God has said, and find ourselves blessed in the end. And we can live life with a confidence that the choices we're making are going to turn out for the good. Unbelievers have no idea how to choose. They don't know what will be the results. They don't know what will be right. They don't know what will be wrong. They've abandoned all standard, and they know not which way to go. And they get themselves in the state of terrible trouble. The girl that Evan met, the young woman with the child in the totally inadequate baby carriage, getting out of the house because can't stand the atmosphere of a drunken mother and sister. Mess that exists in people's lives. And they don't know which way to turn. People need the Lord. They don't know where to go. They're wondering, where are they going? They don't know where to go. We know where to go. And the word of God gives us a guide so that we can make choices about life that will bring blessing, that will ultimately bring reward upon us and strengthen us. We'll look at that in the two passages. We look at the different results of the word of God. We'll see the way in which it blesses us. We have that as we have the word of God. And it's a different thing from what was said before. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. There's a right way to live. I can know it before I have lived life. I can make choices knowing in advance that they're right and with confidence that I'm not throwing away my life. We look at people around us who are clearly throwing away their life. how they need to know the way, not to throw away your life, but to live in such a way as to bring blessing. Well, it goes on to, the commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving life to the eyes. The commands of the Lord, radiant, giving light to the eyes. The word of God opens my eyes to see things as they are, to appreciate beauty, to recognize evil, to live not clueless in the world, but with understanding and appreciation. Eyes are open. Things I didn't see before I see gives light to the eyes. Enables us to perceive the world in which we live as it is, in wonder and glory, excitement and joy. Commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. God's word brings me to fear God and no one else, that I may live a life of courage, purity, whatever happens to me. That's certainly there in the text. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And we look at the judgments of the Lord are true and altogether righteous. God's word is a revelation of what is true, what will never turn out in reverse, what may be depended upon for all eternity. This is what David believed about God's word. Do you believe those things? Have you come to see that? Well, if you've come to see it, it's because God, by his mercy, has opened your eyes. You've been brought to see it. You've been brought to embrace it. It's written upon your heart. Do you love those things? Do those realities about the word of God answer to your inward soul? You are glad that this is true. The unbeliever is battling everywhere these things. Does not want to believe these things. Doesn't have a heart to believe these things. Most people do not believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe these things about God's word? Does this make you think, this is what I want to believe and know about God's word? I accept God's word for this purpose. Is that true in your heart? Well, it's not true in the hearts of the people among whom we live. Most people do not believe this. Organized atheists know very well that they're out to destroy that idea, to undermine it everywhere they can, and to destroy the idea of the word of God being that to anyone. That's organized atheists. They know what they're about. Regular atheists are quietly confident that this idea is ridiculous and it's not worth arguing. So they do not believe these things about God's word. They don't think that these things are the case. They don't even think that it's all that important to discuss. Nominal Christians don't think it's important either, since you can get a lot of good things from the Bible without necessarily believing it all. And there are people who would call themselves Christians and would think there's a lot of good things in the Bible, could quote texts and believe they're good, and you don't have to believe the whole thing. They don't see the necessity of believing the whole Word of God. Do you come to see this necessity of believing the whole Word of God? You're not a nominal Christian. You're one that has believed on Jesus, one who's been born again by His Spirit, one in whom the law of God has been written on your heart, and you believe these things about God's Word. Well, that's the case because God has been pleased to open your eyes, because God has shown you, because you've heard the gospel and believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Christians who think the question is that there are things that theologians argue, but it doesn't get in the way of loving Jesus. Well, now, there may be a sense in which one can suspend thinking about all these things and love Jesus and serve Him. It's possible not to employ all the powers of my understanding and my wisdom and my intelligence to glorify Jesus. But you do not want to be that kind of person. It's true, a person doesn't have to be a theologian and doesn't have to understand all the ramifications to come to a personal relationship with Jesus and want to live for Him. But to grow and to learn, one needs to take the Word of God for what it is and recognize the wonder of what it is and brings one's life under the influence of what it is. David believed that where the Bible has spoken, it has spoken truth. Where it is declared blessing, there will be blessing. Where it is warned of judgment, judgment will come. Of course, we must be careful to understand clearly as possible exactly what God has said. But what He said is absolutely to be trusted. This final statement about God's word in Psalm 19 is a summing up, same time the foundation of all that David has declared in verses 7 through 9. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Are you where David was in perspective to God's word? David goes on to list the benefits of those convictions. He speaks of what it makes the word of God for him. And we want to look at that too. We will be looking at, they are more precious than gold, than much fine gold. They are sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. We'll look at the wonderful recognition, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. And in that we'll conclude our study of this picture of the word of God that we have in the passage. We want to look at these before we finish the series. But where are you with regard to this? If this is your conviction about the Word of God, that you see the Word of God in such a way, if this has been that which has empowered your life and you want to make it known to others, you want to bring the answer to a world that is stumbling and confused and in ignorance and destroying themselves, this is where we long to bring the people. And of course, we come to people, they come to this through coming to Christ. It's when one comes to the Lord Jesus, when one sees one's own sin, when one turns from one's sin and looks to Jesus Christ, when one is born again by the Spirit of God, when the Word of God is written upon the heart, when they begin to long to understand what God will want in their lives, it's at that time that they come to embrace what David saw. David was a great man of God. Every person is a potential great person of God, with a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and an embracing of God's Word. And so we thank God if He's given us such a sight. If we have believed, we have been born again by the Spirit, if our hearts have been open to embrace these things, if we've recognized the place of the Word of God in bringing us to faith, in giving us stability and help, and the grace to be able to face everything that comes, and the sense of appreciation for the truth, and a desire for the things that God has promised, and a longing to put our hearts there. If God has done that, then glory be to God. We are different from others not because of anything in ourselves, but because God in His mercy has brought the gospel to us, has opened our eyes to see it, and has given us a richness that we can never exhaust. And David saw something of the inexhaustible riches of the Word of God. Well, may God impress us with the inexhaustible riches of the Word of God. Make us to love the Word and hunger for it more and devour it and seek to build it and make it a part of our lives and find ways to include the Word of God more in our lives and realize that it has this power to work in us in all these ways and long to know it more and more. May God enable us to find ways to be more involved with the Word of God. Do you have this kind of living, enthusiastic trust in God's Word? Well, the Word of God is worthy of this trust. David says it because he thinks it's true. He speaks it from faith. It's his faith that made David the great the great and famous man that he always will be as long as histories of the world are taken seriously. When the Lord helps us to see, may the Lord help us to see what He has shown us that David believed. And may He help us by His Spirit to believe it too and to live the enthusiastic Christian life that we so admire in this great man of God. David was a terribly important person in the Scripture. There's only one David. Names are repeated in the Bible and there's different ones, but only one David. And David's name appears in the Bible 1,000 times. Get a concordance and look up David and then count the places. Column after column where David's name is. There's only one David is talking about. And he comes up 1,000 times in the Bible. This was a man that God lifted before us to recognize, to appreciate what God was doing in his life. Well, God brought David to see the Word of God in that way. May God enable us in the same way to see the Word of God in that way. To see it because we've looked to God to forgive us our sins. We've received the Spirit of God to transform our hearts. And we have studied the Word of God to know the wisdom that He's given. May God do all those things in us. And may He make us more and more zealous to bring other people to Christ and to the Word of God. And that they might know the blessing that's there. Let me read the blessings again. And then we'll commit the time to the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you that as David declares the wonders of the Word of God, we declare from the heart, Lord, we believe that. We have seen that, something of that. We recognize something of that and want to see it more and more. Will you work in us a hunger and a desire to feed upon your Word, a delight in the insights that we receive, a sense of meditating and carrying with us the Word of God and meditating upon it, thinking, recognizing the value of absorbing the Word of God. Help us to see that, Lord. Make us strong in the Word of God and stir in us a desire to see others come to Christ. To look at a world that's falling apart because men are stumbling in the dark and they don't know what they're stumbling over. They're making choices that bring disaster upon their life and they never see the connection between their choices and the disaster. And they're totally perplexed as far as what's going on in their life. They're in darkness. They're stumbling. Oh, Lord, help us to see that. Help us along to bring people to a knowledge of Christ. And then help us, by your grace and as we can, to point them to the Word of God and to help them to understand and to embrace your truth. Oh, Lord, work, we pray, in a powerful way. Revive your church and strengthen it and enable us to reach out in strength and power to change men's lives and bring them into the blessing of God. Lord, help us, we pray. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonder of the word that you've given. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to live in light of it. And help us to devour it daily, that we might be strengthened, encouraged, and helped to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sins. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your sending the Lord Jesus to die for us, granting us your spirit to experience it all. We pray your blessing. We ask you to continue to be with us in our fellowship tonight. Send us on our way rejoicing. Great God, we worship you, and we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.